the wand, a puff of smoke, and the magic man pulls one out of the hat.
I still can't believe it happened.
Welcome to the Maroons Magic Supercoach Quickfire Q&A for round 14. A couple of questions come through, so we'll get straight into them. First one's about Sicily. Is the smart play to hold him, knowing he was going to miss this week anyway with his bye, and then if it's upheld, then you can trade to a few better options who are coming off their bye, like a Yo, Redmond, Ridley, given that they already own the top players and defender targets, being a Sinclair and a Stewart this week. Not sure who you'd even trade in if you were to trade him out. That is the smart play. Personally, I don't think he's going to get off. So you could be sitting there looking at it and being like, okay, well, it's a lot of cash to be sitting there for one extra week when you're going to trade him out anyway. And by trading him with all that cash in his head, and it could be a move to a Himmelberg in that position, which can then free up the cash to get a big upgrade on the other end, that I'm inclined to trade. It's easy for me to say I'm not an owner. So this is definitely one to go with your gut, what you think he's going to do to get off. There's enough defenders there, I believe, in terms of that the Himmelberg move, that you could – there's some options, even though there's better ones coming off next week. Also, Hayden Young I don't hate as well as a bit of a punt. I know we're all pretty bullish on him at the start of the year. He wasn't great last week, but it was pouring with rain. I think we'll see a better second half of the year than first half. Interesting question coming through here around Tim English. So this coach owns English, Marshall and Briggs. Is it crazy to trade out Briggs for the cash grab and play Briggs? Trade English for the cash grab, play Briggs the rest of the year, and Marshall, that sort of thing, could turn a Warple into a Oliver and a Chincotter into Dawson, makes it all look pretty good. Depends how you're going with the cash, but you could also make those same upgrades in 2 weeks' time by trading a Briggs down to a basement and using that cash to get a Warple up to a Oliver and a Chincotter to a Dawson. So personally, no, we saw what English can do when he goes on these runs, and he can average, well, he's the highest averaging super coacher for the first couple of weeks. He can average 120. Briggs, as good as he has been, as good as Ruckman can score in super coach, you'd have to think he's going to average 95 to 100 from here, which is still great, and he's going to generate some cash. But if you've got English putting up 130s there or 120s, you're giving up 25 points per week, and that's going to be hard to come back from. So personally, I wouldn't do it. The caveat with this question, though, is that he'll be able to see Briggs' score first. If Briggs puts up a big one, say if he goes 120, then that might help it, knowing that one of these weeks you're going to get the kicker. For me, it's a no. But it's not crazy you thinking this sort of scenario, because it's a value-based game, fantasy super coach. It's all about what output you can get with your input. And if you're getting a similar output from the Briggs and the extra cash you can then put on someone like a Chincotter or a Warple who aren't scoring well and get them keepers, then overall you're going to be scoring well. But if you can walk away with keeping English and still getting Warple and Chincotter up to those two other extra premiums, I think you can do that with the Briggs cash come round 16, then that's the better way to attack it. What would you do if you had Patrick Cripps? It's obviously been super disappointing the last few. I feel like he's going to benefit from the week off and the bye, which is the hardest thing to say, because you know, if you hold him for one more week and likely not going to score well, then it's going to be a prime chance to trade him out, knowing that it's his bye and he's not producing top eight mid-level, but he's a pretty determined character. I feel like his game when he's up and running is as good as anyone in Supercoach, and easy for me to say I'm not known, I haven't been through the frustrating period he's been in. I'd very much hold this week and hope that turnaround happens this week, but part of me feels like I'd, depending how I'm going on trade situations, I'd give him a little look post buys as well. I think you might have better priority stuff, like when it comes to round 16, I'd much rather trading out a Humphrey or a Nat Fyfe over a Patrick Cripps. How do you rate Sarong, Brayshaw, Anderson? I've actually got Sarong then Anderson, then Brayshaw in terms of scoring output from here to the rest of the year. But I think they can all be close enough to the top eight mids. So we're blessed this week. We've got a few top eight potential mids who have had their buy already who we can trade in. And so you add Lachie Neal to that crop also. Sarong's hard to trade into knowing he's got this little ankle complaint. And Brayshaw's always been slightly below. So for me, out of those three right now, it's Noah Anderson. And yeah, who would you rather, Brayshaw or Anderson? For me, it's Anderson in Supercoach. So he had a few excuses the few weeks leading into the buys, but the period before then he was looking as good as any in Supercoach. Is it worth grabbing Himmelberg this week at a discount, knowing that you already have six green dots in defence in round 15? Gee, your round 15 team's looking better than mine if you've got six green dots in defence. So that certainly helps its cause, the fact that you never want to trade in someone with a buy next week. But if you weren't, even if you didn't have a buy, if you still got six, then that certainly helps. Personally, I'd rather pay the premium, though. It's not going to be a heap of extra cash and get him in the week after. So I'm not, even though when we talked before about the Sicily move, but that's only if you already own those good defenders who've already had their buy. I wouldn't be trading out. I wouldn't be trading in Himmelberg this week. I'm waiting. I'm waiting till he's had his buy. And even saying that, the first question, sorry to go back at it, the Sicily one, that is probably the smart play. If you've got the defenders who have come off, if you've already got the good defenders who've come for their buy and there's no one you like, and the only one is, say, Himmelberg type, then it probably is wait a week. Might as well see what the appeal says, and then you can trade in someone who you do really like, whether it's a Yeo, a Redman, if you've already got that Sinclair-Stewart combo. Same question about Briggs, but this one's got the Darcy. So Briggs has been a great R3 if you're a Darcy owner, because you've at least been able to get his points on field. But now the question is, well, is it worth having a Darcy and all that cash sitting there, especially with his high break even, if you know Briggs is showing he can do what he can do. And unlike English, who is a solo ruck and was being a clear top two ruck, I don't think Darcy's going to be a top two ruck. I think it's going to be English and Witts, and then Marshall not far after that. So I'd certainly be trading out a Sean Darcy, getting that cash, use it elsewhere. Briggs will make good amount of money, and then who knows, on your trade situation, you might be able to go a Briggs to English in round 16, 17, 18, 19, and really complete it. But that's where I would be doing. I wouldn't be dumping a best 22 player, and I've never done it in my fantasy history, trading out someone I own who I think is going to be a best 22 player, so someone I'm going to want to own from now to the end of the year for a cash grab. But I'd certainly do it for someone who isn't best 22, and that's Darcy. Question here, have 16 players for round 15. Is it worth just taking that hit and making sure you get the right upgrades, or do you sacrifice and sideways trade a few players like a Cogs and Sheasel to make sure that you at least get up to 18, but it might mean that you don't complete your team, or you might walk away with three trades remaining than five. I went through a bit of this scenario in the insights, where say if you're trying to scrape to get an extra number in the buy rounds, that might gain you an extra 100 points. But then if you're run out of trades, like we saw Hewitt and the owner of Hewitt back end of last year, that cost him 400 points. So running out of trades, you can quickly give back a lot of those. On the flip side, I think there'll be a lot of teams in that position with 16 or 17 next week. So if you can manage to get 18 and 19, you can make some big leaps on the comp and put the luck into your favour with low trades. That's where I'm positioned. I'm going to get myself into. Probably have three trades left, and it's probably not going to be enough, but it's going to be enough for you to have a little bit of a taste of glory, I think, at the back end of the buy. So that's the way I am playing it. That's all the questions which came through, but thanks for everyone who did send them in. We'll be in touch on Wednesday morning with Tommy following this week, and yeah, heading into that trickiest buy of the lot, 16, mind you, it looks like most teams or lots of teams have 18 or 19 this week. So it'll be interesting to see how it all comes out in the wash. But we'll touch base then. Cheers, guys. Thank you.